Hello!
Hey guys, it's Arden Cho.
Hey, I'm Holland Roden.
Hello, this is Ian Bowen.
Hey you guys, this is Melissa Ponzio.
Hi, I'm Lyndon Ashby.
Hi, I'm Dylan Sprayberry.
This is Megan Tandy.
This is Tyler Posey, and you are listening to Not Another.
Not Another.
Not Another.
This is Not Another Teen Wolf Podcast.
Yes, it is!
Oh.
Woo!
Hey, this is Jeff Davis. You're listening to Not Another Teen Wolf Podcast, my favorite podcast in the world.
So that's it. We are live.
Yeah, it's on.
Yeah.
But can they hear us or see us? What the? All right. Okay. I still see no viewers. So I need at least one viewer. I need someone to know if they can see us or if this is actually working from the YouTube link. Can anyone? Karen, lean in.
Karen,
you've got like an inch. Shuffle that way. There we go. Anyone? Hello. Can anyone hear me? I need someone to reply so that I don't feel like I'm talking into a void. Okay. Yes, good. So people are definitely asking questions, so hello. I need to know. It says zero and it's giving me a complex. All right. Look, maybe we should just talk and pretend that someone's listening. It's fine.
They can watch later.
You can watch later, I suppose. So, hello, guys. This
Hi.
Is not other...
We're off to a good start, clearly.
Karen?
Yes. Everything works. That's what Unforgiven said.
Oh, hi. I made her stay up even though it's 5 a.m.
Yeah.
As sorry. Hi.
Oh,
yeah.
You're not sorry.
I'm not that sorry. Sorry. Hi, guys. It's Natalie.
Two viewers.
That's
there
Karen.
There we go.
There's at least two people listening or watching. Mm-hmm. That's fun. That's Donya. Hi.
Hi.
Where's Kristen?
Kristen, come
here.
This is Kristen. Kristen is a member of Hyperbole. You might have heard her on our last episode when we did the live recap, which hopefully was a thing that you liked. Someone tell me if you guys liked it on Twitter. Someone says not with the YouTube link. Peggy Ruiz. If the YouTube link not working, sorry, literally just tell me. We've got eight whole viewers. That's really good. It's not that, it's not that good. I'm sure there's people out there getting more hits than us, but at least we're actually talking live to someone, which makes me feel a bit more like this is a real communication rather than like some sort of pretentious wank. So I would love to. We are in our apartment, or one of Donya and my apartment. Kristen,
would you like to sit? Like,
there's no chairs. There are no chairs.
Does this? Okay, this apartment has no chairs except for this bench that we're sitting on. She can sit on the bed, but it might not.
You
see
can't
her.
See me.
I mean,
you can just pop up and
yeah, you can pop up and give commentary, and we'll hear your stories as well. We're in the apartment. It's Sunday night after San Diego Comic-Con 2015. So Comic-Con is over. Some of us have a little bit of work left to do, but we're doing this podcast instead. And her. Yeah. Kristen,
and me,
do you
actually,
have anything?
And you.
Really? What do you have?
I was going to put together, we went to the Scorch Trials Nerd HQ
panel.
Yeah,
that's right.
And we're going to, Donnie gave me a really good idea of what we can write up for that, so I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
I am useful.
I have to write up a press conference that I don't know how to do. So, I mean, I do. I shouldn't be telling the internet this because someone might see it who actually will criticize me. But, no, we're going to do that. But we thought we would come on first and talk to you guys because this is actually our last episode was our 99th episode, which means this is the 100th episode ever of Not Another Teen Wolf podcast, which is... Which is a lot. That's a lot. Like, it's 100 Teen Wolf don't have 100 episodes. There ain't 100 episodes of Teen Wolf, the MTV show. If you know what I mean. So that's like quite a big deal. And we thought that
especially when you consider how many hours that would be.
Yeah, because like a Teen Wolf episode hours. Is like 40 minutes. Our episodes.
Sorry.
They're not 40 minutes.
Sorry.
They're 2 hours if we're lucky.
I know. Would you guys prefer shorter episodes? Like, it's doable, but it's weird and not that enjoyable. It would definitely be skipping over like many points of say an episode recap or something like that. There's definitely shows that just have a talk, like they talk about, oh, that happened on the episode this week, not like blow by blow. So I don't know, it's quite difficult. Some people really say they love long episodes and some people it might not be for them. Anyway, 100 Teen Wolf, Not Another Teen Wolf podcast episodes. We were talking earlier at dinner tonight about how it's still a stupid name. So sorry about that. It's probably not changing now.
I like the name.
You like the name?
It's original.
Do you remember when we made it?
Yeah, I remember when you asked everybody, you were like...
In the group.
You took a poll for names. Like, we were all trying to help them name it, but Not Another Teen Wolf podcast. It's original.
This is tea, in case anyone's wondering.
She's not boozing it up.
She's totally boozing it up.
Consider it.
I really wanted to, actually.
Do you want
to
go down and kill something?
Not now.
Do some Haagen-Dazs?
I mean...
Yeah?
Eventually.
We can get the ice cream. Okay, so...
Should I insert questions as we get them?
Yeah, we're getting a few questions. So basically, the point is, 100 episodes... Oh my... I will tell you about the escalator in a minute. I will tell you, because it was great, but it's embarrassing. We're getting a few questions. We didn't want to leave. You know, we only get to hang out in person like once a year. Obviously, Brooke and Courtney aren't here because Comic-Con is not 100% their scene, but...
We love you guys.
We love them, and so they're not in LA. I'm going to see Brooke in 2 days, though. I'm flying to her town to see her, so we all do love each other. We're just not in the same place this second. But three of us... Didn't want to leave without, you know, if we're so that close to 100, we had to do
something
100 together in a fun way, basically. So
and we like Kristen, so she gets to tag along.
Kristen has been our honorary.
Every time I hear my name, I'm
Kristen's sorry. Been our honorary podcast member this week. She's a great hyperbole writer. She's not on this podcast because I don't know why shouldn't she on this podcast. Because
I didn't watch Teen Wolf right away. But as soon as Karen was like, Kristen, you have to watch this, I watched it, caught up, and now I'm a huge fan.
You might be hearing from Kristen a bit more in the future because she's going to be living in Karen's house.
Yeah.
So
that's
a thing that happens
too.
That's the thing that happens at Hyperbole. Like, we are all like friends in real life. Look, I have friends. I don't usually. All right. We've got questions about Comic-Con. We want to talk to you about what we've been doing this week, not just Teen Wolf. This is quite a personal episode. This is going to be us talking about our feelings and our experiences, and it can certainly be about Teen Wolf. You can ask more detailed information about the press that we did with Teen Wolf or the Comic-Con panel, and you can ask some other things about Teen Wolf, or you can ask about any other fandoms that you know about that were at Comic-Con, and we'll see if any of us had any coverage there, or you can ask about anything we've said on Twitter or anything like that.
Can I be in charge of saying questions?
You can be in charge of saying the questions. We also have a couple of stories because we did go up to LA on Tuesday before Comic-Con. We started Comic-Con on Wednesday night, so that was preview night. Tuesday, we did a road trip to LA, 7 of us in a van, which was a lot. We have to give Laura money for that.
Oh, we do.
Yeah, we do.
I also have to give Laura money for the apartment we're sharing.
She didn't even... Okay, so we'll...
Okay.
We'll work that out later, guys. That's you don't have to be a part of it. We drove up, Hyperbole road trip, plus Leo, who's over in the corner, who's honorary Hyperbole photographer this week.
We love Leo.
Hi.
Yay!
She's looking at us as if we've gone crazy.
She kind of watches Teen Wolf, but...
She doesn't listen to the podcast, she hates us.
Yeah.
that was a joke.
It's fine. Anyway, the point is we drove up to LA to do some things. We went around. We went to...
Whimsic Alley.
We went to Whimsic Alley. We went to The Last Bookstore, which is a beautiful bookstore in a heritage building in downtown LA. Downtown LA is where a lot of LA-based shows shoot, like on-the-street location stuff, like when they're pretending to be New York or like something like that because it's old buildings. Really great bookstore. It's going to close at the end of July for good. Like, so you should go there if you're in LA. We went to the Grove.
La Brea Tar Pits.
I made them go to La Brea Tar Pits, which it's across the road from Whimsicali, so I thought it was a thing we could see. If you've seen My Girl 2, it plays a big part in My Girl 2.
Wait, can you tell them about Leo's cookie story?
I don't remember Leo's cookie story.
Leo dropped her cookie on the ground at La Tar Pits and ate it anyway, which I don't fault her for because I would have done the same thing.
They were really good cookies.
The cookie place is next to Whimsicali if you ever
So if you ever want a cool day trip in LA, go to the cookie, I think it's called the Milk Jar, or something. Whimsicali, which sells, it sort of started Harry Potter, like, they have a lot of Harry Potter aesthetic, but they have tons of Game of Thrones now, Supernatural, Doctor Who. They have, like, an event room that looks like the
Downton Abbey stuff.
Downton Abbey. It was
crazy
like,
seeing anyway, so much Downton Abbey stuff.
Next to their very good cookies, it's across the road from the LRA Theatre, which is a good venue if there's any gigs on, and La Brea Tar Pits, which is basically a fossil mining tar site that they pulled some, like, mammoths out of. It's basically some pits of tar, but there is some good history. There's a museum if you can afford to go in it.
And gooey cones are really funny.
Oh, there's do you want to tell them about the gooey cones? Sorry, we are actually getting to a point here that you'll find more interesting. Kristen, gooey cone.
Oh, they're like, I guess the tar still bubbles up from the ground.
Not just in the pits, like across
right,
the lawn, like the whole area is
at
still
the La Brea Tar Pits. And so when it gets too soft or when too much of it comes up, they put a green cone over top.
Like a
of
parking
the spot.
Cone.
Yeah. So. Like a, and it says gooey on the side.
It has a little arrow pointing down.
Yeah. It's good.
I actually have a really good picture of Nat looking at the gooey cone. Maybe we'll post that on Instagram.
Do it.
So after...
I'll do it right now, actually.
Oh, thanks. After we did those things and tried to, like, you know, have a nice day with the group, we also were invited back to the Teen Wolf set by some of our companions out there. What would we call them? Friends, companions, comrades, colleagues. It was Alyssa Clark, guys.
I guess we could call her comrades.
Yeah, so, you know, some of the writers that have always been very good to us in the last, you know, over the last years and in the last year especially. And it was no official, you know, article or, like, coverage. It was, they're not doing anything, like, they're not, the cast weren't filming or anything like that. We were just meant to organise to meet up with them to do
dinner
something, dinner, like, but it turns out that all the people we were meant to be visiting were all working that day, and they were like, you can just come here if you want and hang out. So we did that, like no big deal, like, that was fine. We just got there, and I was just like, are you sure that this is okay? And they're like, yeah, and all day I was being super paranoid and being like, is this really, like, legit? Because, okay, this isn't, like, official, so I feel weird about this. But it was really nice. Everyone there is great, as usual. We had fun. We got to see... Oh, is that me in the cone?
Yeah.
Are you putting that on a podcast account?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. we saw Jeff. He was very excited to see us and was being Jeff, as usual. I'll say the one thing that we did get to see. We got to see the Comic-Con trailer before Comic-Con. Like, the Comic-Con trailer that they aired at Comic-Con... We saw that on Tuesday without special effects, which was weird. So it's like the eyes, like Liam's eyes going yellow, like they weren't
there
done yet.
Actually, the one I really liked was Kira flying past
I was
the screen
say that,
and you could
the
see
wires.
The wires, yeah, which yeah. still made it look super cool. But
Yeah. So that was kind of a fun little thing, but not much is going on. They were doing like some pickups for this current season, which is like not even the actor. It's like a stunt person in a car pretending to open a door because they didn't get the door opening the right time, which is interesting if you like that kind of thing, but it wasn't like fandom fun or anything like that. It was cool. We love them still, obviously. And we have quite a lot of photos of Karen lying all over the Teen Wolf sets being dead.
Yeah.
Because that's apparently what Alyssa thought was funny.
Yeah.
So everyone's just like, Karen, lie down on the floor and be dead. So it's like Karen being a corpse in the lift.
And
Karen being a corpse in the boys' locker room. We did get to see the locker room, which we never saw on the first time we went there. So that was
good.
What else did we want to say about that? Oh, we took Kristen. Kristen got to go. All the hyperbole people, originally they were meant to go do something else, but the traffic was so bad that the team, this is how nice they were about it. Like, they were like, yeah, they can all stay. Like, it's no big deal. You can just, like, seven people can, like, walk around. Not, like,
whatever.
Unsupervised or anything. But they were very nice about it. Yeah. So we have to see. If anyone's watching, like, I don't know if Angela or anything is there.
We got to see Styles' Jeep. Yes. It was covered. We didn't get to touch it or sit in it or anything. But it was there, and I was next to it, and I freaked out. So
yeah. Kristen, what was your best experience about doing that? Because obviously we didn't know that you were going to come. And we would have loved to offer it, but we didn't feel like we had the place to offer it until they got there, you know what I mean. So, yeah, how was that for you?
Well, it was all just surreal and awesome. Like, meeting Jeff Davis was, like, freaking awesome. He's so cool. Like, I mean, I've never really, aside from, like, official press events and stuff, I've never really met a showrunner, like, you know, outside of official stuff. So meeting him and just being able to kind of, like, talk to him like a normal person was really, really cool. We got into Styles' bedroom, which was really
the mood. Yeah. The lights were off, but yeah, unless you're bringing in lighting for a set, very few of the sets on a show are like, you can't just like turn a light switch on the wall. They're external lights that they bring in for the scene. So we saw a lot of sets in the dark, but we did get to see Styles' room.
And the sheriff's station.
Sheriff's station,
which I was super excited.
That was cool. I fell over something in the McCall living room. I hope I didn't break it. Styles' room was really cute. They had like
the murder board.
Yep. They had like a photo of like him and
Scott,
like season one, like lacrosse, like, oh, we're best friends in a frame, and a photo of a little boy and like a mother in a frame and stuff like that. So that was cute.
That was really cute. She, Unforgiven, just sent me this and said...
From so long ago.
Yeah, it's Natalie tweeting out, is Scott Danny a thing? Like, it wouldn't be my primary thing, but I feel like it could be a thing. Very eloquent.
I saw Kiahu at Comic-Con on the first day. He was walking into... Or it might have been the second day. First day, was it? No. It was the first day. Yeah, because it was before the Teen Wolf panel. Yeah. He was there, because he likes to go to Comic-Con. Literally, I saw him walking into the hall, and I was just like, hi, as he was going. But yeah, that was a long time ago. Why is she sending me that?
Because she said, I mean, as if I would ever miss your 100th episode. Bless you, adorable cuties.
Oh, hi. Aww. It's so weird. Okay, yeah, was there anything else that we wanted to say about set? Like in
the Dread Doctor's experimentation. No?
It's well, been in the... Whatever.
We've seen it.
That was a new set, the lab thing with the tubes.
The one that's in the opening credits. We will try to post me being dead.
Yeah.
Becky.
Yeah. So Kristen, I'm glad that you got that. I don't know how to like say this without sounding like a douchebag. But
somebody likes my shirt.
Kieran's like, make sure you can see my whole shirt.
And I got little tiny Iron Man.
We're gonna talk about our cosplay and our experiences and the cool superheroes that we met this weekend very momentarily. We just want to get the set stuff out of the way first because we didn't tell you guys about that yet. In the least douchebaggy way possible, as an outsider, when we went there and I didn't know Jeff, we didn't know Jeff was going to be there either. Like, we kind of, we assumed that he would be, but he would be locked in a room, if you know what I mean.
Writing and editing his little heart out.
Yeah. you'd think. What was... Was that weird, like, that he responded, like, that what happened when we got there? Did you know, like, I know that you know us very well, but, like, I don't know what I'm trying to say without sounding like I'm fishing for compliments, but do you sort of know what I'm trying to say?
I think so.
Mm.
Maybe a little bit. No, I mean, it's really nice to know that Jeff, he's really, really appreciative of his fans, and, like, it's nice to see him interact with people who really, truly enjoy what he does and what he loves doing. Mm. And so seeing him interact with these three lovely ladies was really, really fun because, like, you can tell he gets a high.
Excited. Like, not just like, we're doing an interview. Yeah. Like, it's like he wants to have these conversations, probably because he's, like, real friends down the road. Don't want to talk to him about his Teen Wolf show. Like, you know, like...
These are people who would sit and talk about Teen Wolf all day. Yeah. And he's like, oh my God, these are my people. Like, yeah. I mean, it's very exciting. So it was really cool to see him, you know, talk to everybody and have conversations about, you know, about the show, but about other things too. It was really
cool. We had a lot of discussion about, because the other episode had just aired the night before, like 503, we were all like, that thing with the back is the grossest thing you've ever done. And
they were like, just wait.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. I did see a spoiler for something, like, for a visceral thing that's going to happen. Like, I saw a sketch of something that's going to happen that is going to be really gross. So that's not great. all right, let's do some more questions. Karen, you do that, please.
Okay. Really quick, I Instagrammed the picture, but it didn't show up on Twitter, even though I clicked Twitter. I don't know why.
Did you feed it through to Twitter?
Yeah.
We'll get it in a bit.
Okay.
Don't worry about that for right now. Yeah, it went through to your normal Twitter because you must have linked it up. Like, are you sure you Instagrammed it to the podcast account?
I thought it... That's dumb.
We'll fix that. Go to Karen's Twitter if you want. Karen_Rort, and we'll fix it later.
Okay.
Karen, do the questions.
I'm doing questions. how were fan questions this year at the panels? This is from @TheLinsMo.
Any particular fandom or just Team Wolf?
Anything. Just fan questions. I usually really hate fan questions. I think they're super embarrassing, especially since sometimes people don't have the best tact. Mm-hmm. This year, actually not horrible. There were a couple of kind of uncomfortable ones, and I really dislike when people are like, oh, can I get a picture after the panel, or can I get this after the panel, or something like that? Because, like, people
they're
don't have time for that.
That.
Yeah.
They get told what they're meant to say. They get told... You know, you ask your question, don't just get up to talk about your feelings, don't ask for a hug and all that. But people, like, either they, like, lie or they, like, you know, they break the rules and it's annoying. Mm-hmm.
But I would say there were a lot of really good in-depth ones. And I know we were talking earlier, like, some of the fan questions were better than some of the moderator questions. Yeah. So it was pretty give and take. This year wasn't super uncomfortable.
Teen Wolf... It felt average to me with the fan questions. No offense if anyone's watching this that asked a fan question. Like, there was nothing that stood out as bad, but it was okay. I was less than impressed with the Marvel TV fan questions, the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter panel, which was something I was really looking forward to. I didn't feel great about that panel. There was a much better one at Nerd HQ, which we attended today as well. That the Marvel... Agent Carter, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. panel was like, I don't know. It wasn't the cast fault or anything, but it was...
Yeah.
Nothing compares to the Hannibal fandom, though. They are the smartest, happiest, like, most understanding, coolest fandom in the world. And I would be, like, trying to crawl up into the, like, echelons of the, like, Hannibal fandom and get a podcast where I could be best friends with Brian Fuller... except because he's like so friends with so many fans, except like I've missed the boat on that. Like, it's fine. I don't care. I will talk about Brian Fuller in a minute because I do have a Brian Fuller story, but I love him and I love the Hannibal fandom. I don't feel like I'm like a participant in the Hannibal fandom in the way that like we're a participant in the Teen Wolf fandom. But I was doing the Hannibal coverage at Comic-Con because Brittany, our American writer for Hyperbol who does Hannibal, wasn't there and I love the show.
We love you, Brittany.
And,
probably not.
I know for a fact that their fandom is amazing. And like I've seen it, like I know what happens like with them at cons, but just the vibe in the room, every question was great. They just knew their stuff and it was like not embarrassing, not intrusive. It was like getting Hugh Dancy, like, says the word fanables like it's a real word that people say in the world. Like he's just like, you know, like, the way that we feel about the fanables and blah, blah. Like it doesn't even register to him that that's not a real word that you should say. Like he's not, like, fanables, if you know what I mean. Like, it's such a good fan-show relationship. Like, the best I've ever seen with a show. Like, Teen Wolf, we love Teen Wolf, and we love the Teen Wolf fandom. Teen Wolf and the Teen Wolf fandom sometimes don't love each other so well. Hannibal fandom is perfect, and I just loved being a part of it at the con. So, yeah, that's my answer for that. How about you guys?
I would say there is a third category, not just good and bad questions, but there's a third category, adorable kids.
Yes! Leo wanted to invent a drinking game for panels, and you had to have, like, someone who was cracking onto one of the cast members, where, you know, a child, and everyone's like, oh! Like, there's you can tick off boxes of the, especially the kind of people that are allowed, like you, like, it's like they have a quota to fill or something like that.
So there was an adorable little boy at the Gotham DC night who walked up to the guy, like, to ask his question, and he just looks at Carmen Bicandova, who plays Selina Kyle, Catwoman, will be Catwoman, and he goes, I have a really big crush on Carmen, and the whole room just went, oh! Like, even, like, grown men there to cheer on, you know, there for Flash and Arrow were awing at this little boy. It was so cute. So little, cute little kids are one of my favorite parts.
I did the Marvel animation panel, and that was great. It was really, really super awesome. But, like, the first question, the first audience question, the person who came up to the microphone was a little girl dressed as Kamala Khan, so Miss Marvel. And if you followed me on Instagram or on my personal Twitter, I put a picture up of her. But they essentially invited her up onto the panel with them to answer the rest of the fan questions. And basically, when they were getting fan questions, they were literally asking her what she thought. And she was so honest about everything. They were like, you know, oh, what do you think about, like, adding such and such character? And she's like, well, duh, of course you should add that character. And then, like, someone asked another question, and she was just like, that's stupid. That's stupid. You should not ask that question. And I'm like, let's ask a different question.
Maybe small children should moderate all the panels of Comic Con. Moderators, I will say, Kevin Smith at the Teen Wolf panel.
Really good.
Fucking nailed it. Wow, he was so good. And I have loved Kevin Smith since I was 14 years old.
Yeah.
And I am 29 or something like that. I adore him. And I love what he was talking about with the show. Like, he got into it because his daughter started watching it, I think. But, and he, you know, he's got great appreciation for Dylan and for Tyler Posey and just for everything.
Dylan O'Brien. He's not Baby Dylan.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe he does. Baby Dylan.
What was it? The sweeter the berry, the better the juice.
Something like that.
He did not let the Dylan's bravery jokes die, and he said, "You're not the second Dylan. You're the number one Dylan." Like, just kept like giving shit. He was amazing.
Really emotional when they gave him a jersey, a Beacon Hills lacrosse jersey, because like
that was really
sweet. You could tell it meant a lot to him.
He's the best, and he's a really big name to moderate a Comic-Con panel. Massive. Usually it's someone from an outlet, like a famous reporter, but from an outlet, like someone from AW or like Chris Hardwick from Nerdist. Having an actor or another like celebrity like that big to moderate like a TV panel is a very big deal, and it's really cool that he did it.
From Nerd HQ, Zachary Levi, amazing moderator.
Well, that's his like job.
Alan Tudyk, also amazing moderator. Else moderated?
I liked Aisha Tyler today as well. Like, she was really cool.
She was on the Marvel primetime one. Nathan Fillion, they just like go.
Yeah, Nathan Fillion. Yeah, we'll talk about Nathan Fillion. But our final thing that we did earlier was Nathan Fillion. He does several things at Nerd HQ, which is a charity sort of small off-site event kind of offsite where they do very small panels for a charity money. And he's been a big part of it for a long time, and he knows how to run his own panels there. Like, it's fun. Do you want to go on to another question?
Yeah, what kind of cool merchandise did we buy?
Oh, my God, we're going to have to, like, run around and grab
it. I
actually pre-prepared for that question.
All of my stuff is at the other apartment. I have my little Iron Man that I showed off already, which I really like. Danya brings the pile in front of her.
So, you guys,
I'm going to get up and find some stuff. These guys can talk.
Okay.
Sorry, you're going to have to look at my butt for a second.
It's okay. It's a very nice butt.
Sorry.
It's a really difficult bench.
It really is. It's true.
Kristen.
This goes with Karen's Iron Man.
Thor. Oh, does anyone want to guess which one I've got?
With Mjolnir.
Really?
Who I love.
Because this is not going to be a surprise for literally anyone. So I got Hawkeye. So basically, that was like the exclusive Marvel pins at the Marvel booth.
How long did you wait in line to get us those?
Oh my god. Two days. All of preview night. All of preview night, and then Marvel acknowledged that there was an error in their system and gave the people who got cut from the line on preview night a stamp to come back at any time the next day.
Yeah.
So, if they hadn't got the stamp, they wouldn't have got in.
No.
By the way, these are my tiny minions, and she's our Gru. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We decided this room.
Yes.
So, wait. Okay, fine.
I saw a Gru Funko today.
Which is
really? It's Karen.
Aww.
Yeah.
I got a lot of Megaru, like, sketch cards and prints, a lot.
and a lot of Iron Man things. Oh, I got some Funkos. I got Lady Sif Funko. And I also got Beatrix Kiddo from Kill Bill and Oren Ishii from Kill Bill, which I am a huge fan of. So that was really cool. I tried to stop with the Funkos, but I wanted a lot more. We tried to get into the exclusive, like get the exclusives for Funko.
It
was cat for 4 days.
We walked circles around one of these booths for like a half an hour waiting to try and get in.
Yeah. Okay, so that's mostly what I got. Now you
can. Right. Okay, so this isn't actually merchandise. Prior to Comic-Con for Hyperball, they asked me to design some buttons to give out while we were at Comic-Con for Hyperball, and this one is my favorite one that I designed, which is just, "Where's my Black Widow movie?" Because really, where is my Black Widow movie?
This question was from at Saints Ghost Victoria, by the way.
Yes. So. Let's do Hawkeye stuff. Let's just go with that. Right, so I got this Hawkeye t-shirt, which you may recognize from the comic books.
I got this Hawkeye t-shirt, which I've is also from the Marvel exclusive booth. Did you get that one as well?
I also have
that. And I got this one that she got is from We Love Fine. I don't know if anyone can see, but if you like the Hawkeye comic books, Matt Fraction, the writer, he made his own designs, or they kind of like, from his books, and he sells them through there. And so that's a Matt Fraction Hawkeye, and I got the sign language, like spelling out Hawkeye in his from the sign language episode of the comics, basically.
I also got an exclusive Marvel t-shirt, and it's Thor, and it says, "Dost thou even hoist?" And it's got the hammer.
I also got the Marvel Agent Carter silhouette shirt. Leo got the Do As Peggy Says Agent Carter shirt. And Leo, she's over there. I just pulled stuff out of the Marvel bag. Got the Four Girls Gym from Daredevil shirt as well.
Which is cool. Other thing I got from the Marvel booth for myself was David Aja's alternate cover for Spider-Gwen.
Oh! I didn't know he was the artist. Oh, I can tell.
Yeah, you can tell he's the artist. So if you are familiar with his Hawkeye comics, you'll recognize this art style immediately. Other Hawkeye was Karen, really, really, really sweet, lovely.
Oh, yeah.
Karen, I forgot me this print, which is like the coolest little thing.
Do we wanna kind of bring this into the department of like stuff we got signed or cool things that we got, like photos, or do we just want to talk about literal merchandise?
Didn't get anything signed. I got zero things signed. I got this from the really awesome artist who does Pocket Princesses.
I got a Megara.
Yeah. I got this from the MTV booth because I'm super excited for
talk about this for a second, actually?
Yeah.
Because Donnie got this for me, too, which was really nice because it's an MTV exclusive, and I really appreciate that. I bought the first book not realizing that the show's going to be covering Elfstones, which is not the first book. But, guys, if you have not checked out the Shannara Chronicles trailer yet, go on Hyperbowl, check it out, watch it. It is super legit. They filmed it in New Zealand, and it's a lot of the people working on the show that do the sets and everything have worked on The Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit. Like, these are
New Zealand knows how to do that stuff well. Like, you know, like, it has the landscapes so that they don't have to CGI stuff, and they just go, and it's like, Xena was done there, like, way
exactly.
back in the day.
Yeah, and Manu Bennett was on there, like, he's gonna be in the show, and John Rhys Davies is gonna be on the show.
Arrow fans might know Manu Bennett. He played Deathstroke in Slade, so he'll look familiar.
So good.
I have some big things to show.
And the cast is beautiful.
Yeah.
Which is just
so the very first thing I bought on Comic-Con was the most expensive. Some people won't care about this that much. But this is a print by Jill Thompson. She's a comic artist. She does a lot of really cute stuff. She's done a lot of stuff for DC, and she does, if you know Sam, this is a Sandman panel. This is a Sandman panel that she drew in pencil. And she didn't sell the original, but she recreated it in ink. It's a limited run that started in 2002, and this is the last one of the entire run. I tried to buy this 4 years ago at Comic-Con and couldn't afford it, and she still had it. Like, this was the last one in her book from the same run. I love her. She does really emotional books of her own. She she used to do some special pages of Sandman, including like the chibi ones, and I just really like her. So that's that. Leo also presented me with this gift this afternoon, which is the Hannah Bobby wearing a birthday hat.
It's so funny.
And he's so ridiculous.
I love that.
I love
that's
Hannah
amazing.
He's so weird. They're so weird. I love
Oh, I love that.
And I just want to interject really quickly that Unforgiven said I really liked Anya's question for the Marvel Nerd HQ.
Oh, cool. We'll talk about Nerd HQ as well. And then we got this. We're not sure what we're doing with it yet, but this is actually a full-size print of Swan's Styles portrait with the Dread Doctor in the background.
So beautiful.
The art exhibition that I went to a couple of weeks ago.
Can you see the little bit in the background?
So basically the MTV booth is really pimping this fan art exhibition that they've got. Like, they're using those images. They're giving out full-size prints of several of the different art. Including the one that Liz did as well, which we have quite a few of. I went by this afternoon just walking down the con floor for the last time, and they had four of that left. And I was just like, can I have one? Like, I wasn't even angling to get it. So now we have that. We're not sure who's keeping it, but we'll see. And then do we want to move on to, like, cool other things? Yeah, you've got that as well.
So I don't know if anyone watching is a Star Trek fan. I am massive Star Trek trash, basically. I love Star Trek, especially James T. Kirk. And for anyone who is familiar with Star Trek will know that David Goodman, who wrote on Enterprise, which may not be my favorite Star Trek property, but he still did a really good job. He's been a Star Trek fan for, like, ages. He's done a lot of work. He did a book called Star Trek, like, 150 years of like, Starfleet history. And that was a really cool reference book. But he has one coming out at the end of this year called The Autobiography of James T. Kirk, which, self-explanatory, he has written it from the perspective of James T. Kirk outlining, like, his entire
life.
It's
fan fiction, and he fully admits that.
Yeah, basically. And Marima, who some of you may know as my co-host from Hero Hype, very wonderfully managed to get hold of a hardcover copy of the book before it comes out later this year. Which
Does it come out later this year?
September.
I saw a stack of them.
They did a very, very, very limited pre-sale at Comic-Con. It was very limited. But it does not officially release until September.
Oh.
So I've got this. I've read a good chunk of it.
It's so good. The first panel that we saw, Donya and I went to the panel, which was Goodman, and it was William Shatner just appearing to read it. Like,
to read parts of it.
And he's so beautiful. Oh, it was so funny. It was such a good way to open comics.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. I'm going to devour this book, basically, over and over and over again.
Interjecting really quick, at Joni Benoni says, finally, faces to match the voices, watching you guys live.
Hi! I got a couple of good books. My current favorite author in the entire world was at the con for one day, and I didn't know she was going to be there until, like, very recently, and it was very exciting for me, and I went to her panel and her signing, and she follows me on Twitter, and it was a big deal, and she gave me her card from the signing, from the panel, basically. I've wanted one of these for a very, very long time. Just a Comic-Con, like, the name cards from the panels. It's really lame, but I just wanted one. Sometimes they give them to fans, sometimes they want to keep them as their own souvenir. I just think it's really cool, and I wanted one. And then she signed it, saying, keep being awful and great, which is like she knows me or something, because basically I've connected with her via Twitter because of being quite outspoken about people being stupid in her fandom. So she seemed to like that, because she also is quite vocal about people being stupid in her fandom. So it was really cool to meet her. That's Maggie Spivotter. She wrote the Shiver and Linger series, but the series that's really knocked me for a six this year is the Raven Cycle, which you may not have seen on Twitter, but it's literally the most influential thing I've read to me since I read Harry Potter. So, yeah.
So the other thing that I got, which everyone gets one of these as they come into Comic-Con, but I got a Supergirl bag.
Yeah, I really want the Lucifer one.
Want the Lucifer one now as
well. We saw the pilot for Lucifer, which is going to be a new show on what network?
It is on Fox.
It's and that's actually based on a Neil Gaiman character as well, Sandman, that panel that I just showed you. He did an interpretation of Lucifer, the devil, basically leaving hell because he doesn't want to do it anymore. He doesn't want to deal with them, and he basically gives up the key to hell, and then there's this whole book of Sandman, an entire issue of Sandman, basically called, I think it's the sixth one, I can't remember off the top of my head. An entire book of the 10-volume Book of Sandman is the story of Lucifer leaving hell.
Yeah.
And other artists who belong to DC have taken that interpretation of Lucifer, or DC's Lucifer character, and written other comic series about it. And this is a television show based on that Lucifer. Basically.
So good.
We saw the pilot's really funny, really charming.
If you want to read a little bit more, I did do a pilot review, which has gone up on hyperball.com. I think if you follow my personal Twitter or jump on my personal Twitter, which is virtual_Don, I posted the link directly to it. Also to the press room, because I got to talk to the three executive producers and the cast members from the main characters from the pilot, who are fantastic. There's some really great little tidbits and what to expect from the show when it comes in season one, which I'm super excited for.
Yeah, it was so good. And anyway, they had one of the bags they had was Lucifer, and I wanted Supergirl originally because I want to watch Supergirl, and I love Jeremy Jordan, who's going to be in Supergirl, and I'm really proud that he got to go to Comic-Con and be in Hall H. And even though I wasn't there, that's a question I have for you guys as well, actually, is which panel are you bummed the most to have missed, or which event at Comic-Con are you bummed the most to have missed because of clashes or queuing or whatever?
Con-Man. I
We were at Con-Man!
No, we didn't get through the entirety of Con-Man. I wanted to sit through all of Con-Man. I wanted to also do the Con-Man panel at Nerd HQ. Teen Wolf overlapped with the San Diego Comic-Con Con-Man panel, so we had to leave about halfway through, but up until that point it had been hilariously funny and wonderful, and two of the production staff who were on the panel actually got engaged on stage at the end of the panel, and I missed it.
Does everyone know what Con-Man is? I mean, it's not like you can hear me. I mean, you can hear me, but you're not answering me directly. Con-Man, for those who don't know, is a web series coming out written by Alan Tudyk, who was Wash in Firefly, and you would have seen him in many other things. He's great. But him and Nathan Fillion have been talking about that.
Did you know he was a voice actor on Frozen?
Basically,
yes. Okay. And Wreck-It Ralph.
Wreck-It Ralph. Yeah. He's in a lot. He's great.
The King.
Yep. King Candy. Yeah. She
Can
Wreck-It
just
Ralph.
Keep interrupting Natalie.
He's in a lot.
By the way, really.
He's in a lot of things. He's in a lot of things, and all of the Firefly cast, and most of them, are very dedicated to like the con circuit. They're very dedicated to the way that people haven't let the Firefly show die and stuff like that. Yeah. But this series, he's been something he was like, someone should do something like this for 9 years, and then finally did it himself after crowdfunding it. And it's going to be a web series about this guy in his position who played this pilot on this sci-fi show, which didn't last very long, that has obsessive fans. But unlike Alan and Nathan, this guy kind of hates his life because of it. Like, he's kind of like, he gets a lot of money from basically getting to go to conventions and living off that. But he's kind of like, he doesn't get why people care so much. And it's like kind of about his understanding of the con, like, thing, you know, and how he feels like a con, like it's a pun, obviously, a con man. But anyway, they showed a trailer for it. Literally everyone in geek culture is in it. Like Seth Green, Joss Whedon, Felicia Day, Gina Torres, like Will Wheaton. Who else was on that panel? Like so many people. Like there was like 16 people on the panel. All of them like famous like nerds, basically. It's great. It looks like it's going to be great. I can't like, and it just is a lot of fun. But we had to leave that early. My biggest
I feel
thing,
like we should take somebody should take a screenshot of us right now.
Someone take a screenshot of us.
I look like the redheaded stepdad.
No, no, you don't.
Smile.
Okay. Someone.
Now I don't.
What was I going to say? Biggest thing that I'm been the bum that I missed.
Oh, I have one.
Yeah.
Once upon a time, I usually go to that every year because I'm on Onceable, one of the podcasts on Hypeable. And I just was so tired and I had so much other work to do that I couldn't make it. But Kristen was there.
Yep.
And they announced that they're doing Merida this year, which I think is really exciting. So.
And then I talked to Eddie and Adam in the press room afterward, and they were so excited because they wanted one surprise, like real surprise at Comic-Con. So they told everyone that they were casting Rumpel's mom.
so that everyone would think that whoever they announced was going to be playing Ron Cole's mom in a flashback. But really, they're not casting his mom right now. That's something they want to do later on. But for now, it was Merida. They were all about Merida.
I'm
so it was
super
really fun.
Excited about Merida because the actress is from a couple of UK shows. Can't remember her name off the top of my head. What was her name? I've forgotten her name, but she was in Being Human.
Is it Kate? No.
No, you thought it was Kate. It's
Amy.
Else.
I'll look it up. Amy Mason?
Possibly.
Oh, no. I know who. Yeah, I know who that is. She's in, like, Being Human.
I have no idea.
And she was in Atlantis. She's basically big UK, locally kind of.
It's Leo. Leo is very excited.
We know who it is. We are. Yeah, it's, her name is. You're right.
Yeah,
she
I
is,
love her too.
She's Daisy.
Yes. She's Lizzie in Desperate Romantics. If that's who you're thinking of, then yes, it is.
Yeah.
They haven't actually. Literally, no one has. None of these hits are giving me a fucking name. okay. Anyway, yes, I know who that is. She's an interesting girl. My big one that I am bummed that I miss is 20th Century Fox in Hall A.
Oh, Deadpool.
Which started with the Scorch Trials.
This is the escalator story.
yes, it is.
You're getting the escalator story now, so I hope you still that much.
My
so
butt
much
is this much on the bench. So if I just go down, I'm
We're
screen,
all going with
I'll
her, too.
You.
It's okay.
I was doing Hannibal Press, which is nothing to squint at. You know, it was great. It was amazing. I have some great stories. Brian Fuller. It was wearing a Star Wars fuzzy blazer, and he showed me concept art from American Gods on his phone. So that was a massive highlight.
You know.
However,
as you do.
While this was going on, and I was 100% committed to Hannibal, I knew that it wasn't going to happen. The 20th Century Fox panel was happening. And those of you, you know that Marvel MCU studios, their own studios, did not attend Comic-Con this year, so there was nothing for Avengers or Civil War or, you know, nothing of that, like Doctor Strange, nothing from the actual Marvel Universe. But Fox, who has the rights to most of the other Marvel stuff, like, I just dropped my phone on the floor. Yeah, they have X-Men, and basically, and Deadpool is sort of owned by that. So they did Scorch Trials first up, that was one of the other Fox projects, and then they had the superhero stuff, so they had Deadpool, X-Men,
Gambit.
And then they did a Gambit, like they had Channing Tatum come out for Gambit. Stan Lee came to that panel and they did like selfie of the biggest amount of superheroes in the... No, stop it. But the real big thing was like getting... It was Ryan Reynolds talking about Deadpool and them showing the Deadpool trailer for the first time, which is going to be...
I'm super bummed that I missed
so
that.
Good. And I think the vibe when that happened, I was in... The first time I came to Comic-Con, I was in the hall... for the Sony panel when they were doing Spider-Man. So Andrew Garfield's first Spider-Man. Whatever you think about what happened with that franchise, Andrew Garfield was so excited about being Spider-Man. And I don't know if any of you guys have seen the video, but he got in line to ask a question as he was in Spider-Man and they were like, okay, you know, and then they pulled off the mask and it was Andrew. And he had this 2-page letter that he was literally reading, like talking about what it meant to him. He was getting breathless. He was nearly crying. And it was like, it was a stunt, but it was real as well, like for him, if you know what I mean. Like they definitely planned for him to do it, but it was gorgeous. And I was like really close to where it was happening. And the vibe was just unbelievable. This is in 2011. And so I knew that the Deadpool bit was going to be really good given. And so I'm really bummed that I missed that like environment. And I came out of Hannibal Press, which was great. Really, really good. I love Ryan Fuller so much. But...
trying not to tell the story, clearly.
All... I was reading on my phone, being like, Deadpool, oh my god, people freaking out about Deadpool, live tweeting, and I was exiting the building where the press was, which was in a hotel, and it had several layers of escalators, and I walked onto the up escalator while going to... I was trying to go down. I walked onto the up escalator, shouted out loud, fuck, that's going up! As Brian Fuller, Hugh Dancy, and Richard Armitage, who is a new... You may know Richard Armitage of being Richard Armitage.
Because he's awesome.
Oh, he's so good looking. They were walking like along the balcony above my head, literally,
And I'd just spoken to them, and it was the only Australian there, and I was wearing a bright green shirt, so they definitely knew it was me. And that was really, really embarrassing. But it was because I was really distracted.
Leo is dying across the room.
That's the escalator story. I'm glad they didn't point and laugh.
Yeah.
But that happened.
Very, very kind of them. Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of good looking, Tom Ellis is a very good looking man.
He's going to make an excellent Lucifer. Like,
it's going to make a distracting Lucifer.
Yes, that as well. But you need to be charming and cocky and...
He was really charming. He was lovely. And it's not like, I'm evil, because that's the entire point of this Lucifer. He's not evil. It's his job, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
He doesn't have too much of a conscience, but I don't think any supernatural beings in that world, like the angels... that are on God's side, I don't think do either.
No.
Like,
no,
and,
no, they don't.
So. And, yeah, I know, it's just, it was really great, and he was good looking, too.
Yeah.
Want to do Princess T at Princess T Taylor says, Karen, I can't stop with the Funkos at times too. Love all this stuff, guys. Yeah, Funko is going to be my downfall. If they come out with a Hades line, like a Hercules line.
Done.
I'm getting every single one, no question. Like,
oh,
I want it so bad. They have to, right? Like, they have everything else.
Eventually, they'll want the money.
So they have Duck Dynasty. Why can't we have Hercules?
Mm-hmm. I didn't get any Funkos here, but before we came out to San Diego Comic-Con, Karen and I went to Indie Pop-Con. Then after Indie Pop-Con, I went to stay with my very good friend Liz, who... Has she been on an episode with us?
Yeah.
Before? Yeah, she has. She's been on an episode before, and she got me a Hawkeye Funko.
I have two Iron Mans.
I have
Donnie
one
brought me
Funko.
An Iron Man one.
I have one, and it's the unmasked Winter Soldier, Bucky Barnes from Captain America the Winter Soldier. And I can't start collecting them because I'll get every single character that I've ever loved. I don't have room in my life for that. So I only want one other Funko, which is an unmasked Cap. And I want the Winter Soldier era unmasked Cap, and they're like $150 or more. So one day I might just get that instead of getting 20 other Funkos and other characters, if you know what I mean, for $10 each.
What if they come out with Teen Wolf Funko?
Oh, I was thinking about that today. I was like, Brian Fuller got a Funko made of him. They've done Hannibal Funkos, and this year there was an exclusive that I could not get to it because there was only 140 pieces, and the time I couldn't get. Brian Fuller did the same. They made a Funko especially for him, like of him holding a knife. And like, what if they do a Teen Wolf one? What if they do a Jeff Davis Funko? Like, I was like, oh no. Okay, maybe I'd get Teen Wolf Funkos because it would be great. On Derek.
I would buy a Styles Funko.
Yeah.
I would buy all of them.
Or Lydia. Yeah, definitely Lydia too.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Let's see. Unforgiven has an actual question. Favorite cosplays you saw? If you go onto my Instagram, you'll see this. I found a Hades cosplay and it was brilliant. It was really good. He had contacts and like the makeup was perfect and his hair was awesome and he had like a little goblet of like gummy worms and it was so good. And I like, Kristen was there. I like was jumping up and down trying to get to him. And I found a couple other like Tony Stark Iron Man ones too. And there was this one that was dressed just as Tony. And I like mauled people to get to him. Like I was shoving people out of the way. I think I like elbowed you. Yeah, it was bad. But I got a picture of him, so that's all that matters.
There were a lot of
Teen Hawkeye.
Yeah, that's basically the one.
There was a boy at the con. He was there with his parents.
Yeah.
Every panel he went to, it was him and his parents. He must have been about 17, but apparently he needed both parents to help him at Comic-Con.
Maybe he just really likes his parents.
Maybe. It was cute. He was dressed as Clint Barton, comics Clint Barton, with the like the band-aid on the nose, like sweatpants. There were lots of people like that. It's not a hard cosplay to do, but something about his vibe was like spot on. Like,
was basically
so
Hawk guy.
There was a couple of really good capes as well from that comic.
Oh,
but this boy, and there were many, many Clint Buttons, but this one there's just something about it. It had a vibe. We also really good cosplay right as we were coming out of the con. Like Karen saw her Iron Man that she got a picture with. I saw my favorite Deadpool, which was Chefpool. He was great. He just the way that he acted was like crazy and amazing and funny. The way he talked, and I took a picture of him, and he had the chef's hat and the chef's
apron, which they've sort of drawn him with a couple of times, but he had, like, instead of the katanas, he had, like, a massive wooden fork and spoon. He was hilarious. He was running his mouth. Leo managed to finally see her perfect Bucky and Natasha. She saw, which was the exact comics Bucky from the period between when he's sort of crazy and when he becomes Cap, like when he's the Winter Soldier and dating Natasha and so, and they looked like the comics, like exactly. And we saw some good movie ones as well, but it's actually the same Bucky as her phone screen. The Clint is my phone screen. The Bucky is Leo's phone screen, exactly that era, like the way his arms painted, everything. And you're like, she's like, it's my phone screen. He's there. He's real. So that was cool. And what else? What about like random things? Like a lot of Hannibal. I love. It's always like dead Will Graham covered in blood, girl who's drawn a beard on with a flower crown.
Flower crown.
Oh, it's great. Or like, oh, I'm a crazy deer with my guts hanging out. And a flower. I love them so much, you guys. There was a girl at the Hannibal Con who was cosplaying Bedelia, Gillian Anderson's character, who was also just, like, hysterically funny. Yes, Leo.
I saw Daria and Jane as I was leaving. Daria
and Jane?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Cool.
And we asked for a picture. They both just crossed their arms and stared at me. And I
oh, awesome.
They were posing for the picture. And then they weren't mad at me.
Yeah.
That's great.
There was loads of, like, really good Avatar and Korra cosplays.
Yes.
A lot of people
put effort into that. And that was actually...
Adult and...
It might have been Tenzin.
No,
but yeah.
They were.
It's interesting because the first time I went to Comic-Con, actually, they just debuted Korra. It hadn't started. They had a girl come to the panel that Nickelodeon had dressed as Korra. And I'd be like, this is what she's going to look like. But no one had cosplayed Korra. But I saw definitely some, like, Korra crew for any of our rewatchable friends. Like a Korra, Marco Bolin, and Asami. I saw someone dressed as the Bolin... that's going to happen in season 2 that Karen doesn't know about yet. Basically, but his look in season 2 when he starts having an interesting career. So those who watch Legend of Korra will know what I'm talking
about.
Is
he going to be like a stripper or something?
I mean, you're not far off.
Anyway.
He's not going to be wearing much clothes.
I saw a...
He's not a prostitute! It's Nickelodeon!
You said stripper was close.
Think further in the other direction.
Yeah.
From stripper.
I saw a Tenzin who was wearing sunglasses, which was really funny. It was really great. He just looked, like, really cool.
One of my favorites, it wasn't really, like, an accurate one or anything, but there were these three guys who came up the escalator next to me, like, on Thursday or something, or Friday maybe, and they had, one had a Vader mask and the other two had Stormtrooper masks. And they were just wearing, like, wife beaters and boxers.
Raffy
and they
squad.
Had,
what about Raffy
and they
squad?
Had inflatable, like, rings with little animal heads on them, like, around their waist. It was hilarious. They had such a good time. Like, I just love people who commit to whatever
they want. There are definitely
they want.
Some really weird ones. A great one I saw was a complete and utter mashup of Furiosa from Mad Max and Elsa from Frozen. So it was her, and she had, like, a guy with her, who I think
perfect
was Max, but it had, like, an Olaf, like, tape, like a gritty Olaf, like, taped to his back. Yeah, so she was Elsa from Frozen, but she was also Furiosa from Mad Max. I don't know how they did it.
We also saw a gender bent, Kristoff and Anna, and it was
really,
really,
really
cool.
And
like,
they
really
shoved
awesome.
A wig on top of Olaf, and so it was, like, female Olaf.
It was really cute.
I saw Sailor Moon Deadpool, which was quite funny.
I saw Pikachu Deadpool. Today.
Is that like a thing? Like, does he dress up?
I think people who like Deadpool are just crazy.
Okay, which is fine.
Well,
I think it's hilarious, but
Deadpool breaks the fourth wall a lot.
Yeah,
so
Deadpool would
kind
wear
of,
all of those.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Sorry.
It could be
was...
that.
And
yeah.
Then I saw, what was I going to say? I know, you were saying, huh?
Raptor Squad.
Raptor Squad. There were these guys, four guys.
And
who,
girl.
Whatever, four people. Who were, like, dressed as... that? They were wearing kind of
normal
clothes. But they had
raptor
the raptor heads.
Heads
from Jurassic World, like, the four different coloured, like, the specific identities. And they would just go around places and dance. Like, you'd see them in the dance party at Nerd HQ, Raptor Squad, and it was, like...
Yeah.
I saw them everywhere.
I wish
was,
I would have seen
it. It was a lot. Like, it was a lot. There'll be videos of them online, because that would be
yeah.
But we could talk for a long time about because like lots of people just making a lot of effort, like really big things, but I don't know what they are.
Other than like we saw a bunch of people in Beacon Hills like jerseys and stuff, but did anybody see any like actual cosplays?
No. I didn't see anyone do the makeup and stuff like that we do.
I might have done. There was someone in an animal control uniform with yellow contacts in. And I was like,
I don't know if that's the same.
Is it trying, or is this a thing I've never seen before from another franchise?
Like, I don't know. You never know, really. Yeah. Thank you to all the people who took screenshots of us.
Yes.
That's nice.
Okay. Of me being.
Do we have any more questions? What else did we want to talk about?
Thank you, Joni Benoni, for saying that you wish we could do this more often.
Yeah, so do we.
Yeah. Well, you know,
Karen's really sad.
I don't want you to go.
Karen, maybe we'll just hang out randomly online. Like, we can just do them in our apartment.
You and I?
No,
I was like, we're going to be living together.
I don't know. We'll do something. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Be random.
What else? Do we have questions for each other? Favorite panel we attended this weekend, Becky Phillips. I don't know if we've answered that properly or not.
I don't know. Can I address this one super, super quick? Nurse Brack, I know you said that you feel that MTV has dropped the ball, RE Teen Wolf merch. They can't actually make Teen Wolf merchandise because of the movie rights. So they're not they're not actually able to do stuff because a lot of the copyright, while they are able to do some stuff, they can't do a lot because of the copyright stuff with the movie. There's a lot of crossover. And
I would buy all the things.
They can do some stuff. Like if you go onto Hot Topic, there are a couple of t-shirts that are specifically TV-based quotes or some other like bits and pieces, which they can do. But some of the other stuff, it's really, really difficult because the movie rights are still active.
And unlike some other fandoms and artists, they don't seem to be too bothered about fan merch. Like some artists or fandoms are like, no, take that all down off Redbubble, you can't do it. But they don't seem to care. So,
Which is why I have a Kira shirt.
Really nice stuff out there, but unfortunately not by MTV. What else happened that was good? About special experiences, I suppose?
Yeah.
Do you want me to brag? Because
yes.
Let's all brag. Can we have license to brag
without
thinking that we're showing off and being? We were at Comic Con. We did get meant to get meet at cool people, and we're not like jaded bitches. So we are actually really excited about like the stuff that we got to do and the people we got to meet.
Kristen,
My brag story, and it was basically the one thing I was hoping the most for. I, on Saturday morning, got to go and do Aero Press, and I wore my Stephen Amell charity Fuck Cancer shirt. And I was hoping that if I wore it, that he would either, Stephen Amell would, like, notice it or something. And I was waiting by the door, like, waiting for the room to start and for us to be, you know, sit down and all that. And he walks in along with the rest of the cast, and he was just walking past, like, he wasn't paying attention to anyone. And he looks at me, like, saw my shirt, looked up, made eye contact, and then said, "Hi," and shook my hand. And I lost my mind. Like,
In the moment, though.
No, like,
I kept
my
super
cool.
Calm.
Oh, yeah. But in my head, I was like, oh, my God. And then I also, in the same panel, got to talk to my hero, Emily Bettercards. And I got to ask her a question about how Felicity is a kick-ass female, and she doesn't have to actually kick ass to kick ass.
Yeah.
And she really, really, like, seemed excited that someone noticed. Like, you know, people don't talk to her about it all the time. Yeah. So that was my, like, major fangirl moment. It was awesome.
Karen?
I got to talk to a lot of very pretty people, which was nice. But, like, even though I'm not super invested in his career or anything, like, I did talk to John Rhys Davies, which I feel is, like, a big deal. And he was super nice, and his voice is, like,
tell him about
royalty. Oh, yeah.
He's going to be in Shannara Chronicles. And he played Gimli in Lord of the Rings. So going back to New Zealand to be a fantasy character is like.
Do you think I could play it? I think I could play it.
He was also the kind of evil guy in Princess Diaries 2.
He was.
Dude, he was Chris Pine's like uncle or something. That was awesome. That movie rocks.
love Princess Diaries too, yeah. even though it's like got
it's
nothing
ridiculous,
to do with the books.
But it's awesome. Yeah.
It does have Chris Pine.
It does have Chris Pine in it.
With really big hair.
It's so weird, that movie. How long has this been going for?
Well, I think I may have to repeat myself.
Now, wait. Listen.
I have a public announcement to make. From dwarf to king of the elves, eat your heart out, Orlando Bloom.
Can you guys hear that? It's amazing.
His voice.
One of my favorite things about Lord of the Rings fandom is like the Gimli and Legolas relationship and rivalry. Like I think that they had such a great time, and there's so much with those characters. Yeah. So that's a lot of fun.
One of the things I really, really enjoyed doing again, Star Trek Trash, I got to have a one-on-one interview with David Goodman to talk about the book and a little bit of his history with Star Trek and things that he really loves about it and how it felt like being able to actually step back into the universe and write another story basically from the perspective of one of the most iconic characters of all time. So that was really, really great. And he's so wonderful. And it was like a very beautiful moment because until the end of the panel, we didn't realize where we were sitting. We were on top of, you're at San Diego Comic-Con, there was an Entertainment Earth booth and they had like a little seating area on the top of it that overlooked the entire show floor. And we were sat up there, and it wasn't until the end of the interview that we realized that I had conducted the entire interview in front of the Roddenberry sign for the Roddenberry production company who were showing stuff at Comic-Con, and it was just like this beautiful moment for me because Star Trek trash.
We're really tired.
For those who don't know who Gene Roddenberry is, he is the guy who created Star Trek.
So you guys all wish that you could have a showrunner that was as good for his current era. It's Gene Roddenberry. Your computer's going to die.
It is?
It's on 14.
It's very mad.
We'll finish before 14 minutes, hopefully.
Okay.
We'll finish up the...
Mine... Oh, you just finished?
No, I was just going to say Gene Roddenberry. I love...
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Much love.
Mine was... probably... I don't know. What did I say? We talked about this dinner.
Brian Fuller
is—he's so good. He's so tall, and he hugs me.
He's so tall.
And he's really tall. Jeff's really short.
He is.
Jeff and Brian are friends.
Jeff that we call him our tiny overlord.
Which is awesome.
I think he liked it.
Not worse than Hot
Dominatrix.
Dad
Scott.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, and what did they call Dylan at the panel?
Yay,
it was, what was so it? Lion. It was something about like an overprotective mom.
Yeah,
I forget what it was.
Basically, there was a mom reference about Styles, and so
you've got Hot Dominatrix.
I know that some people don't
like
the idea of him being like the pack mom, but
yeah.
You know. Anyway, no, Brian Fuller is an amazing human being. As I've said already, I was really excited to meet him. I was really excited to talk and see him interact with his fandom, and he was so great to meet. I know a couple of people that he knows, including Jeff. He and Jeff are friends, and we've spoken to Jeff about Brian, and I was kind of like, Jeff, and some other stuff, but I also know Neil Gaiman, who, and that sounds like really weird, because Neil Gaiman is super famous, but, like, facts are facts, I know him, and sort of we were talking about that in American Gods, and because that series has been coming for a really long time, the adaptation of Neil's American Gods, which is his biggest and probably most iconic novel. And it's been dropped from different networks, and just people were going to do it that were, like, not the right attitude. So a lot of stuff about race in those books that networks wanted to, like, drop, and Neil wouldn't let them drop it. Mm-hmm. And Brian Fuller is the perfect person to be doing it. And it's going into production, and he was like, you want to see some stills on my phone? He showed me and, like, three other girls, like, pictures on his phone from American Gods concept art.
Which
and I was
amazing.
Just like, is this happening? It's so weird. And, like, okay, like, I'm going to sound like a wink, but I immediately texted Neil and was like, this just happened. And he was like, oh my God, he's the nicest man in the world. I'm so glad he showed you. And I was like, yeah. But no, that was all like, cool, yay. But the biggest thing was, like, I knew Brian Fuller was going to be really great. Like, I knew before I met him that he was going to be amazing. I knew that I knew people who knew me so that he would probably be nice to me. Hugh Dancy. Who plays Will Graham on Hannibal. And what are you doing? Are you making fun of me?
No, she was, like, rubbing me.
Hugh Dancy, who plays...
Me?
No, let me talk about Hugh Dancy. I'm so tired.
Okay. Hugh Dancy, who plays Will on Hannibal. I have no connection with him at all, whatsoever.
I wish I did.
And I was just like... Basically, after the thing, I went up to him and I... Because a lot of people were chatting at the Hannibal press conference, which isn't normal, just so you know. If you ever do press, it's actually not that normal to go and talk one-on-one afterwards. Yeah. So they just sort of leave. I think that the Hannibal people know pretty much nearly everyone that does press for them. Like, they know, they're very familiar with their fans and the fans that do press because they were talking to everyone. Hugh Dancy, I kind of went up to him and I was just like, sorry, you're going to have to pause that and plug it in.
Keep talking.
She's just going to sort out the audio recording. I just went up to him. Basically, the reason I'm interested in Hannibal is because of the movie Red Dragon, which came out like 10 years ago or more, which is Edward Norton, and it's a prequel to those famous Silence of the Lambs and Hello, Clarice, etc. All of that was like kind of their present day, and then Red Dragon was a prequel... which focused on Hannibal and this character, Will Graham, who was this FBI agent with this really sort of really troubled by his own mind because he was too empathetic about the killers he caught, that he basically saw them, their minds too clearly, and it made him wonder about his own mind. And that was kind of a set, like, the main aspect of the, sorry, the main aspect of the movie, Red Dragon, and it was Edward Norton.
We'll go back.
My God, that character, the way that he operates, it really... Are you sitting on my lap? You're like a foot taller than me.
I don't want Kristen to leave.
Okay, yeah. The point is, Will Graham, I was never, like, into the original Hannibal movies at the time, but I saw Red Dragon, and the character of Will Graham did something to me. I was just like, that's fucked up. I was like, that's really... Just the way, like, that it was performed, and I was just like, that is messed up. And when I found out that the show was going to be that character, like a prequel to the whole Silence of the Lambs era, I was really glad because Will was the character that I was just hit me. And I basically kind of in a more concise form said this to him. And I was like, what you do with the character and what that character is really, it's just hit me really hard for a long time. And he was like, thank you so much for saying that. But not in like, oh yeah, thank you. He was like really genuine and surprised about it. And he might have been like trained into that. But it was like, I didn't know what he was going to be like. I just needed to say it to him. But he was so genuine and nice about it. And we took the worst photo in the world. And I'm probably not going to show it, but I might show another one because it's funny because it's all blurry. Because all weekend I was wearing a pins on my lanyard and I had a Hannibal pin. I have one that says Eat the Rude, but I have another one that says Draw Me Like One of Your Clocks, which if you guys have seen Hannibal, is a hilarious joke. If you haven't, it won't make any sense. But the
draw me like thing is,
yeah, draw me like one of your French girls, but yeah, draw right. me like one of your clocks is because of it's basically it's a really long story. It's fucking hilarious if you watch Hannibal. If you don't, it's like a really unfunny joke to explain.
While she's looking for that, I just want to say that Sprayberry was in the roundtables and everything, and I asked him a question about, and it's in the article if you guys want to go check it out, but I asked him, you know, your character started off being so angry, and this season he's really transitioned to, like, comedic relief, and I said, by the way, that was fantastic, we all love it, and he was really appreciative of that, so he was like, the comedy is really challenging for him, so that's why he wanted to do it this year, and I think he's pulling it off brilliantly.
Team Wolf Press, just to go off that, Cody Christian, he knows his shit. He is like, he knows how to do that job. Like, he's really impressive in the way, in what he thinks about, the way he expresses himself,
he gives credit to everybody else.
And just what, where his brain is at about it. Like, some people are never that comfortable with that, or they're like, oh, what am I saying? Even Tyler Posey is great, and he's done his job for a long time, but he's like, what was I saying? Did I answer that right? Like, is that what you wanted? Cody Christian is like, he was like a born pro. Like, he was really impressive. So I think he'll probably be around. Anyway, so this is my Draw Me Like One of Your Clocks photo of me and Hugh Dancy. I don't know if you can see it. It's just hilarious because it's blurry and crap. I have a better one that's like ugly of my face. But I like this one because it's like, It's all messed up, so it's like the inside of Will Graham's brain. But I'll show you this one of me and Brian Fuller, which is actually really good. So I'll just... It's really orange. I'm going to put it on Instagram with a better filter eventually. But if you guys want to see it, I'll show it to you. And I'll pretend that someone out there said, yes, Natalie, I really want to see that. And I don't think you're a wanker at all for going on about this. But it's here. I don't know if you can see that properly, again, on the screen. He's the happiest man in the world.
You look super happy.
I've had, like, the worst 2 weeks ever, by the way, and I've just been, like, repressing it until this is over. He's the happiest man in the world. This is, like, way happier than I have any right to feel right now. But he is, like, so good like that.
Yeah.
I also managed to win Leo a ticket to the Agent Carter signing, the Hayley Atwell signing, so I got to sort of go in behind her and see Hayley Atwell really close to me. And then we went to the Nerd HQ and we also got the Smiles for Smiles photo ops with basically the two stars of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter, which was really fun.
Oh my god, the
fun.
C. Clark, great.
I'll put this on the screen as well. This is me, Hayley Atwell, Chloe Bennett, James Darcy, and Clark Gregg, which is really cool. We won't rub that in Karen's face too much.
My heart was broken.
No, that sounds great, but I am really goddamn short.
It's almost perfect because
it's like a V.
And you're just.
And I'm wearing my Hawkeye T-shirt.
Leo, who's over there, hers are actually better than both of us.
Yes, this is my other Hawkeye t-shirt.
One of her 12 or 13. Mine is, I look like a weird 12-year-old who's, like, having a seizure. Hayley looks nice.
Hayley always looks
so
nice.
I want to say, too, a couple
of people were asking us if we're going to do another live broadcast for tomorrow's Teen Wolf episode. We are not, because we're not going to be together. I'm actually going to be flying while it's airing, so I won't be doing the recap. Danielle has volunteered, and we're going to get, maybe Brooke will be doing the live tweeting. I'm not entirely sure yet, but we are kind of bummed because it was super fun to do it the way that we did. Did you guys like the way that we did it? Like that? I mean, we obviously can't do that too often, but it was really nice to be together.
Yeah, if there'd be a way to figure that out online, it would be like to do like a sync tube of the episode or something.
It was really fun. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it went better than I thought it would.
Should we complain angrily about what else happened to us?
Oh, I forgot about that.
We can just not. That's fine.
I mean, if you guys saw any video of the Teen Wolf panel...
I don't know.
Someone tweet if you know what I'm talking about. Because if no one knows what I'm talking about, I'm not going to bring it up. If someone is actually like, "Yeah, we saw that," I will elaborate because it was super dumb. But
Unforgiven said, "Yes, I wanted to see that, the Brian Fuller picture. I'm really interested. You're not a wanker."
Oh, thank you. Sorry, I have extreme anxiety about anything that could be construed as showing off or bragging. I don't know. Like, things happen. We do things. We've got good opportunities. Stuff happens.
Say bye to Peggy.
We're excited about it. Bye, Peggy. Sorry that we're still talking. and we love to share it with people that are excited about it, but I don't feel good sometimes about the way people, about whether it's like something other people are excited about or whether they're just like angry. I don't know. I don't get some attitudes, but I'm genuinely excited, unless it's like someone's grasped something out of my hand and taken it away from me in front of me. I'm pretty excited about other people's experiences, so I hope that other people feel the same in return.
Yeah.
But sometimes people don't, and they're just like, you shouldn't talk about anything that happened to you because you're a wanker, and I don't know how to handle that.
But we're at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Lots of things like this happen at Comic-Con, and everybody here is, you know,
yeah, like Marimer and Andrew walked into Bill Murray walking out of Hall H.
Really? Whoa. I haven't heard this story.
I don't know if they talked to him, but they took a photo of him. Like, yeah, Bill Murray was at Comic-Con. We don't know why.
He was here for, he's got a movie. I forget which one it was, but it was on Thursday, I think.
Anyway, they saw Bill Murray. People, like, it happens. Like, there's a lot of really cool, famous
people.
You
saw some people.
Me?
I saw Peter Facinelli in the
flesh.
Who
did I see?
Outside this apartment, Leah Michele.
I did! Next door to us! Outside this apartment, we saw Leah Michele, Jamie Lee Curtis, and Emma Roberts. walking out of the hotel next door to us, which is called the Palomar Hotel. They're not there anymore, so it's fine. You don't have to go and stalk them. Coming out of, I guess, a party for Fox mm-hmm. for, like, Scream Queens and American Horror Story.
And right before that, you missed...
And right before that, apparently, I missed Natalie Dormer and Sophie Turner coming out of the same party. I went downstairs to get Kyle, who you might have heard on the show, Tariq Kyle. He works on Hyperball. He was arriving from driving down, and there was a bunch of security, and I was just like, oh, there must be a party there. And we'd been to a party at that hotel the night before for, like, a book company, so we didn't think it was, like, that big a place. If you know, we didn't think it was, like, one of the fancy party places. It was, like, a book party company place. It is a nice place. But we – and then I was just like, is that – I saw some sort of lurking people, like people who had like autograph boards and like they were clearly – they knew what they wanted. They were there to collect some stuff and
– Yeah, I'm all right.
They were there to collect and we were just like, oh, my God. And I saw Scream Queens and I'm like, oh, are they in there? And they started coming. I think I actually heard Leah's voice and I
– I would have jumped too. I know her voice.
You don't – like it's
– Distinctive.
It's distinctive, and we're both long-term Glee fans. Like, yeah. Like there is nowhere in the world that I wouldn't hear her voice and not be like,
like I actually like, have and know the words to most of Lea Michele's album. That the
like her
the
original album.
Yeah. Like her album. And I actually like it as opposed to like
and I kind of saw it, and I was just like, oh, my God. Someone said, Emma Roberts is there. And then I was like, oh, my God. Like, and then I heard Lea, and I was just like, oh. And they were literally going out of the hotel into a car to go... I
back
guess,
to their hotel.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe that was the hotel they were staying at and they were going to the party somewhere else. Yeah. I don't know. One of them. They're not there anymore, so don't bother. But
they've gone to work, probably.
Yeah. But
a lot of people are saying, Unforgiven said, I feel like I'm the queen of secondhand happiness, so yeah, I'm hella excited for y'all. And Princess T. Taylor says, Natalie, I like to live vicariously through you, so it's awesome for me. Thank you for sharing.
Well, thank you. Sorry. I have incredible insecurity about it in general because...
Also,
stuff happens.
John Watches TV says, I was going to ask you guys about the Jeff calling you out thing.
They have to tell the story.
Okay, so if people know about it, I suppose.
I mean, if you saw the panel, then.
Or if you watch it online, because they put most of those online.
Yeah. Jeff called, embarrassed us from the stage, which is fine.
So what happened was they were talking about how. MTV, like, obviously they're a cable channel, so they don't need as many hits as, like, CBS or NBC does, but Teen Wolf is still really highly rated, and a lot of people actually download it illegally. And
I think he was just talking about watching online. He didn't even say
that. No, he was talking about watching it illegally online.
Yeah. And he goes, oh, do I see Natalie and Karen
there? He goes, is that Natalie and Karen? And
Because someone was making a disturbance while he was joking on about it.
Oh.
And then he goes, is that Natalie and Karen making
it? Wasn't us,
it?
FYI. We were elsewhere. But he's still, like, because he knows, obviously, that I'm Australian. And... can't watch the show in real time.
I do not download
she
it.
She doesn't
legally.
Download it.
I watch it live.
And he knows that I download it. He knows that I watch it illegally here, so he was just being a dick. But, I talked to him about it the next day. I was like, I was just like, that was so embarrassing. Yeah. He was like, how do you watch it? And I'm like, very illegally, Jeff. Like, very illegally.
Get on that.
And he was like, but are you getting it in HD? And I was just like, I mean, I try. And I don't know what else to do. He's like, well, I don't know. We're going to have to sort that out. I can't gift it to you on iTunes because it's from a different, like, country. Maybe I can send you the DVDs. And I'm like, I buy the DVDs. Like,
the screeners.
Anyway.
He was more worried about whether or not she was watching it.
Yeah. Yeah, just making sure that I was getting the show in the quality that it should be coming on television. Like, and I was just like.
Which is so sweet.
All right, honey. But anyway, yeah, so he basically decided to make a joke about us watching the show illegally in order to record the
really
podcast.
Embarrassing.
It was really embarrassing, and I didn't know if people would know what he was talking about or not. Clearly some people.
Yeah.
But it happened. But we had a good time.
If only, like, four people realized that it was us, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
So.
Because he isn't alone either. I do also watch.
He didn't say... where is those bitches from Not Another Teen Wolf podcast or anything like that. You had to know that it was us. Like, you had to know that it was us. And only probably the people watching this live stream right now know that it was us. So
that's
fine. Yeah. I don't know. We can move on from that now.
Should we actually watch wrap up?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Are we going to watch Big Hero 6?
I don't know. What am I going to do about my Hannibal?
Let's watch Big Hero 6. And the ice cream.
You're not going to see me for like a year probably. She said
ice cream. You want the ice cream?
Oh, I'm
not. How are you doing over there?
Hard.
I know it's hard. I only want to. What's happening? Why am I? I know it's hard. I'll help. You don't have to. Do what's happening right now?
I don't know.
I'm.
She got a little more of Iron Man than she bargained for.
Alrighty. Okay. So any final like we. Oh, this is happening. Hi guys. This is embarrassing.
Screenshot me now.
I don't have this much physical contact or human interaction in like 10 months of the year, so Donya's nuzzling me like a cat. Okay, this is probably really embarrassing for people.
What are these people?
Alright, so any final questions, comments, thoughts about anything
10 seconds.
Comic? Not 10 seconds.
10 seconds.
Not 10 seconds.
9.
No, no.
8.
Give me this. No, no, no.
7.
No, no. People can't
6.
Ask. Alright, okay.
Lots of other people watch it illegally too, so don't feel bad.
We know. They know. They know. And it does count towards like the support with Twitter and like the amount that they know viewers. It would be better if there was a way to,
I think,
contribute like by buying merch or something.
That,
but,
and maybe this is true for all showrunners, but Jeff in particular knows that people do not watch television the same way that they did 5-10 years ago, which is a huge problem for networks and why I think so many shows are getting canceled that we love.
Hannibal.
Constantine.
The Following.
Yeah. So Jeff is actually aware that, you know, people watch it legally, but it does kind of help show. Like, they keep track of those things.
When
when iCandy was on, they were like 8 out of the top 10 illegally downloaded shows, but that doesn't count toward their ratings, which are dumb anyway, the way that works. But, I mean, so yes, they do know a lot of people watch it legally. It's not necessarily something you can help, but, you know, there are other ways to support the show, especially social media, buying the DVDs when they come out, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Okay, we'll go very momentarily. Any final questions for each other? Any kind of thoughts and feelings about doing 100 episodes of the Teen Wolf podcast? 100. 100.
Not the 100.
Not the 100.
Which is a good show.
She watches. She
should watch.
She does the 100.
It's good.
Any final things? I think someone said, what's our favorite panel besides Teen Wolf at the con? So anyone got that? Or
For me, I think it may have been between... it's not even going to be the San Diego Comic-Con ones. I think it will be between Stephen Amell's Nerd HQ and potentially Marvel's Partners in Primetime Nerd HQ. I thought they were really, really great, both of those. But I also really enjoyed Race Bending today.
Our final panel today that we went to was racebending.com. I think it was called Super Asian Heroes or something like that.
Super Asian America.
Yeah, and it was basically a lineup of people, all Asian American background, including Dante Basco, who you might know as Rufio from Hook, and Zuko from Avatar: The Last Airbender, Chloe Bennett, who's Sky on S.H.I.E.L.D., and we're not going to talk about that. And quite a few other people. One guy, I forget his name, but he's a really famous stunt guy, a couple of comics artists. Anyway, I'm embarrassed to be white.
Same.
Like, the way that they talked about, like, it's not stuff we didn't know,
right,
but the way that they, like, commiserated with each other, like, the normalcy of, like, the problems is, like, insane. Like, it's just like freaking insane.
It was,
and like yeah, I just, it was amazing to listen to, but it was embarrassing. Like, it was like,
yeah, it's the kind of conversation that needs to continue to be had, because it's because it's so super important. So kudos to the racebending.com guys for setting that one up.
Yeah, it was
really
good.
My favorite panel besides Teen Wolf was the Shannara Chronicles. Like, that show is going to be so legit, you guys. I'm so excited. It doesn't come out until January, but it's going to be really, really good.
And my favorite, overall, like, it wasn't my favorite because of content, but I really loved the 100 panel, because Ricky Whittle was so lost in his own mind. Like, he was just doing random stuff at the end of the table. Like, he stole four different mics and was, like, pet them all pointing at himself. He had a great time. And the other thing that kind of ties it was Stephen Amell coming out as the Green Arrow.
Not Arrow.
And introducing... Yeah, the Green Arrow, not Arrow. And introducing, like, DC Knight and the Arrow panel. It was so cool. And he was in his new suit, which is awesome. And, yeah, so that was a really big highlight for me, too.
Mine was, the Marvel...
Partners in Crime.
Partners in Crime Time at Nerd HQ. Because Clark Gregson, some fantastic stuff about how it doesn't make sense. I'll tell you guys the story, actually, because it's perfect. Like, it's
beautiful.
It's just the perfect way of putting it, which is basically to... First question, straight out the gate. This panel will be available online. You can watch it in full. Saying to the girls, thank you for being so supportive of, like, the queer, like, the lesbian shipping around the show. Because there are two shows that has a lot of queer female shipping, which is, you know, Angie and Peggy or Sky and Simmons and stuff like that. And both of them are, like, just take it really seriously. And they were just being really good about that. And then saying, you know, so thank you for that. And the girls were like, yeah. And then also... you know, head of Marvel's like, oh, we might get a queer character in Marvel Cinematic Universe in the next 10 years.
That was Kevin Feige.
10 years. Okay, that's
fine. In the next decade.
Anyway, so someone was like, you know, possibility for, you know, that's happened in TV before, that maybe, no? And they were so, you know, they were like bloody hope so and stuff. But Clark Gregg, who plays Agent Coulson, he was talking about it. He was just like, it doesn't make sense to me. Like, he was like, it doesn't make sense to me that's not there. Because no studio execs in this panel, so they could say whatever they wanted, basically. It doesn't make sense to him that it's not there. Because the way that they're showing
the
powered people in S.H.I.E.L.D. or various groups of people in S.H.I.E.L.D. who there's discrimination against or fetishization of in a positive way, various things, you know, like... Basically the marginalized groups, it is a social commentary on that in society, on whether it's, a race or a sexuality or any kind of thing that can have fetishization or if it can have prejudice, anything like that. It's a social commentary. That's what Supernatural is. That is what Supernatural work it is. It's a commentary on human behavior. Where we're not actually talking about what's happening in real life, we're giving it a fake problem that doesn't exist. And he was like, it doesn't make sense that we would be showing that social commentary and not actually having real representation in the team. He's like, it's got to happen. Like, it's going to get weird if we keep saying that this is the commentary of the show but not having those people in the show. Like, it makes no sense and it's going to get weird. So he clearly doesn't approve of the no queer characters on S.H.I.E.L.D. currently. But that was really good. So getting those kind of answers is really, really great. There were no answers like that at the Marvel San Diego Comic-Con panel. But what do you do? What else?
That's it.
I want to watch Big Hero 6.
Karen wants to watch Big Hero 6. Okay. So we're probably going to go.
Big Hero 6 then.
All right. Hope that everyone, all 15 to 9 of you, it's fluctuated from... various amounts of people have enjoyed this. Do we have anything that we want to say before we finish up about doing 100 episodes of this podcast?
Thank you for everybody who's listened to all of them, because that's intense.
Has anyone actually listened to all of them? Will Wallace has listened to all of them.
Will Wallace will be listening to this one. Thank you, Will. We appreciate you.
Thank you to Teen Wolf for having us, for letting us do this show and not spying and on us or sending
really
a cease and desist
of what we love.
Yeah, of being really collaborative and open and trusting and nice and real.
And for continuing to make a kick-ass show.
Yeah, yes. And for trying really hard and for giving us stuff to believe in and hope for by letting us know, I guess... You know, we understand when it's easy to, like, lose hope in a show or to not have, you know, to not know what's going on and not approve of things that are going on and not know why. But with Teen Wolf, sort of we've been lucky enough to know a fair bit about, like, who to trust or who not to trust or where the problems are, basically, in terms of, like,
this is what they're allowed to do, this is a choice of their own or whatever. And, you know, I think we've said before that everything that we have experienced with anything that we consider a problem with the show, we kind of know the why it's happened, and so we haven't lost faith in the show. So we appreciate being able to know that and being able to sort of trust them about their intentions and knowing that their intentions are worth spending time caring about, I suppose.
And I'll say thank you to Karen
for liking me when no one else likes me.
What?
Oh. No, it's okay. This is unnecessary.
No.
We love you.
All right.
All the love from that.
All right. No, this is unnecessary.
It's so necessary.
This is unnecessary. I didn't know Karen very well when we started the podcast. We just both liked Teen Wolf. Mm-hmm. And she's very tolerant because I'm crazy. So that's nice.
Oh, this is a beautiful love fest.
We should go.
We should go.
All right.
I'm going to make you watch Big Hero 6 tonight.
Okay. All right. So I don't know how to make this stop, and my hair is falling in front of my
face. Okay. I know how to make this stop.
Okay. So, why have I got a... Is that a missed call? Someone just tried... Oh, my God. Why has my brother just tried to call me? I really hope that's not a problem. All right. Okay. We'll talk to you guys later, I suppose.
Okay. I love Natalie and Karen.
I love you guys.
Thanks for having me. And Kristen.
And Kristen.
We love everyone.
Yeah.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Yeah, I'm gonna be winging this, FYI. Like, yeah, of course.
Ooh. There we go.
Wow, broadcast has been successfully terminated.
Terminated.
That's a